Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you stand with me and let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. I want to say a great big thank you to Brother Stan Armour and Brother Sparks, and then I know Brother Mason has been by there, Brother Caleb, maybe Brother Luke, and I'm sure there's been some others, Brother Smith, I think, and some others that came by, but we're doing some remodeling work on our event center, and we're trying to bring it up into the 21st century, get rid of some of the old carpet, and I know some of y'all are upset about that. And if you will hang around Friday, we will cut you a sample of that carpet, and you can take it home, and you can, in fact, if you want to come get the whole thing and you need to recarpet your house, you're welcome to it. So anyway, but we're going to update the look. It's going to be so nice in there. Thank you to these men who are sacrificing and making a way for it to look nice. We're not doing everything that we wish we could do, but we're just doing some here to bring it up to date a little bit, and it's going to look nice. Amen. It's going to be nice to have it for our meals that we have over there, and then for the Christmas banquet, should be ready to go. So anyway, God bless. God bless. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter, and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee." All right. We're going to talk tonight about the supernatural. Supernatural. Amen. I believe that there's a hunger, a desire to see the supernatural in this hour, in this church. I believe that we share that desire. We want to see the supernatural. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I believe that we all want to see this. We all want to see when the power of God steps into the natural world. And when God operates outside the laws of nature as we understand them. That's what we call the supernatural. The supernatural. It's beyond the natural. Miracles, healings, angelic appearances, financial provision, the working of the gifts of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost, the supernatural. It's beyond the natural. Things that are impossible for us, but they're easy for God. Hallelujah. We call them the supernatural, but really to God, it's just natural for Him. It's not hard for Him. It's not something He worries about. He doesn't get stressed over working miracles. He doesn't worry about how he's going to provide for the needs and the resources that we need, and it's just natural for him. It's easy for him to do it, but it's beyond what we can do in the natural. It's beyond the laws of nature here on this earth. Now Jesus told Peter, he said, "Go cast a hook into the sea." So it is the will of God that we go fishing. That's what I get from that. Okay? Not instead of coming to church. All right? But you need to work in some times to go fishing. They told me, and so I've just kind of tried to use this, that every day you go fishing does not count towards your total number of days that you've been allotted here on earth. So however many days we have allotted to us in this lifetime, every day spent fishing does not count towards that. So put that to use. And he told Peter, though, he said, you need to go fishing. Go cast a hook into the sea. And the first fish that you catch is going to have a piece of money in its mouth. Now that's exciting. Jesus said, take that money and go pay the taxes. Now, that'd be nice if some of you owe taxes. God could do it. God could do it. Now here's the thing. If Jesus had wanted to, he could have reached up behind Peter's ear and could have, like a magician, pulled money out of thin air. He could have, if he wanted to, just waved his hand and created as many coins as were needed to pay the tax bill. Jesus could have done that if he had wanted to. It would have been counterfeit money, because he'd just be creating money. But he could have just spoken it into existence if he had wanted. But Jesus didn't meet the need like that. Many times that's what we're looking for when it comes to the supernatural. We want the Lord to just speak it and create it. And instantly we have our problem solved and we're able to go on our merry little way. But that's not what Jesus did here. He said, Peter, you need to go fishing. That was something very natural for Peter to do. He was a fisherman. And it was very natural that someone, somewhere, somehow had lost some money. We don't know exactly how it happened, but it happens all the time. People drop stuff in lakes all the time. But somewhere along the way, somebody dropped some money and they lost it in the water. And there was a fish that was naturally attracted to that shiny coin. And all these things are just natural occurrences, but here is what's supernatural. When God took all of those things that happened in the natural, and in no coincidence, he brought them all together. He took the natural and put his super on it. Because he knew what Peter's need was. And he told him to go fishing. And then he knew about that one fish that he had already prepared with money in its mouth. And he directed all the other fish to ignore Peter's hook. But he told that one fish, you've got that one fish that had the money. He said, you've got to go get on the hook right now. That's all supernatural. It's supernatural. It's beyond just the natural for you and me. But God said, I'm going to take the natural and I'm going to put my super on it. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. Even though God had done all of these supernatural things, Peter still had to go throw the hook in the water. Peter still had to go fishing. There was the supernatural, but there's also the natural. If Peter hadn't put his hook in the water, then even though God knew exactly where somebody had dropped the coin, and even though he'd already spoken to the fish with the money to go get on the hook, and even though God had already begun doing something supernaturally, if Peter hadn't thrown the hook in the water, then none of it would have come together. And sometimes there are things that we have to do in the natural before we see the supernatural take place. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Yeah, we want to sit back and just take it easy and just relax and let God do it all. But time and time again in his word, he says, no, I want you to be an active participant. I want you to do something. I want you to put your faith into action. What are we doing in the natural today, right now, in everyday real life? What are we doing in the natural so God can put his super on it and it becomes the supernatural? That's how God works. That's how God moves. Could it be that many are missing out on their supernatural miracle because they're just waiting on God to do it? When he's already put everything in order for the miraculous to take place in their life, he's just waiting on us to do something in the natural that brings it all together. Somebody say, faith without works is dead. That's biblical, okay? Let's read James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He goes on. He talks about how Abraham proved his faith by his works when he put Isaac on the altar. He talks about Rahab. She showed her faith by her works when she warned the spies. Faith without works is dead. We've got to put our faith to work. We've got to put our faith into action. Hallelujah. If we're asking God for the miracle, but yet we're not doing anything to connect with what God is doing, our faith is without works. We can't see faith, but we can see our works. You can't see faith, but you can see our works. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see faith. I can't draw you a picture of, here's faith right here. So how do we see faith? By our works, what we do. We can't see faith without our works. Let's put our faith to work. If somebody's looking for a job and they're believing that God's just going to open the door, God's going to make a way. Maybe you need a better job. So you're just believing there's going to be a miracle. God's going to open another door. But they're not putting in a resume anywhere. They're not going to the job sites and checking out the openings. And they're not being faithful with maybe the job they have right now. But they're just saying, no, God's just going to bless me with a better job. No, we got to put something into action. We've got to put our faith into action. I believe that God is speaking to this church tonight and saying, I've got some mighty, wonderful, powerful works that I'm about to do, but I want you to put in some work too. I want you to put your faith into action. I want you to start taking a step of faith. You may not understand how it's all coming together, but when you step out in faith, something's going to happen in the spirit that brings it all together, and you're going to realize God has been working all along, but he was just waiting for you. He was just looking for you to take that step of faith. Oh, come on, let's put our faith to work. Hallelujah. This principle is all throughout the Bible. Faith has to be worked. The disciples had passed by a man that was blind from his birth, and they asked the Lord, they said, now who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Read with me in John chapter 9, verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, this man had not come to Jesus by faith. Okay, if you study this out, they were just passing by him, and Jesus approached him. And so he had to do something to put his faith into action. He had to do something in the natural that God could put the super on, and it became supernatural. So Jesus spits in the dirt, mixes it up, makes clay, puts it on his eyes, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, if that's what God wanted us to do, most of us would miss our miracle right there. He did what? We'd get mad about the spit. But then somebody went and measured out in the city of Jerusalem how far it was from where they were to get to the pool of Siloam. It was 3/4 of a mile. 3/4 of a mile. Now, they didn't have rideshare options. There wasn't donkey share back then. There, you know. He had to walk 3/4 of a mile, and he's blind. This guy's blind, okay? That's a hard thing to do, and those streets were busy, people everywhere. Then, after he gets there to the Pool of Siloam, here's this blind man has to find his way down all of these stairs to get down the steps to get down to the pool itself. Why did Jesus make this blind man have to go through all of this trouble to wash? Because he had to take a step of faith. He had to do something to connect with what God was already setting up. He did it, and the Bible says he came seeing. He came seeing. Now here's the thing. Some of you, God has asked you to do something, and it wasn't even as hard as this blind man having to go 3/4 of a mile being blind and find his way down there. And Jesus hasn't spit in your eyes, but he's just asked you to do something. He's just asked you to give. He's just asked you to worship. He's just asked you to be faithful. And here we are saying, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to participate. We'll never see the miracle until we learn that we have to be a participant in this. Hallelujah. What is it that God has told us to do and we're holding back? And that's the very thing that's holding us back from a miracle. What is it in the natural that God is saying, come on, take a step of faith? Oh, and we're going to see him put his super on it. And the supernatural is going to take place in our life, in our health, in our church, in this city. Come on, somebody. God's trying to bring all the details together, but he's waiting on you to put your faith to work. He's waiting on you to step out and say, I'm going to do what I can in the natural. Hallelujah. And then the miracle happens and people are healed, and then there's deliverance and there's financial miracles, and revival is poured out, and the kingdom of darkness is pushed back in this city. But it took somebody to put their faith to work and connect with the super in the natural. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Now look at those words there. Charles Spurgeon writes about this verse. He says, Paul, he's moved by the Holy Ghost to say something that there's not words for. No words in any language are powerful enough to illustrate what Paul is trying to get across here. And so Paul has basically created a new phrase in the Greek language to explain this: exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do infinitely more than our wildest dreams. God can do anything. But get this, here's the important part. It's all according to the power that worketh in us. That means it's limited to how much power is working in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, as long as there's some power working in us. If there's no power working in us, then he's unable to do exceeding abundantly. If there's no work going on in us, then there's no exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, we need to be seeking after the Spirit of God to show us exactly what we're supposed to do. What is he waiting on us to do? What is it in the natural that is the point of connection to see the supernatural take place? Again and again and again in the Word of God, there's always something to do. Come on, somebody. God's already put something in your hand. He's already put something in your life. He's already given us some resource. He's already given us some answer. And we need to start looking around. God, what is it that I have to do so that in the natural I connect with the super? Hallelujah. There were four lepers sitting at the gate of Samaria. Syrians had surrounded the city, and they were starving the people out. Now, sometimes you think you've been hungry. We've never been hungry like this. There was a famine. They were selling dove's dung at crazy prices. Can you imagine paying like $100 to eat dung? Just for the little seeds that would be in there. That's desperate. And they were eating their own children. That's how bad they were starving. And these four lepers were outside the city. They were caught between the Syrian army and the gates of the city. Read with me in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Finally, they come to their senses, and they go back and tell the people of the city, and then there was enough for everybody. All because four lepers said, "Why sit we here until we die? Let's do something. Let's do something." They did something in the natural that brought about the supernatural. And God took their footsteps and made them sound like the noise of chariots and horses and a great host. What we do in the natural, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's very much. Sometimes it seems like it's pretty weak, but God honors our faith, and he responds to faith. He responds to faith. He pays attention when we take steps of faith. Who is it in this place that you've just been kind of just sitting around waiting on God to do something, but God is waiting on you? God is saying, "Come on, are you ready to see a miracle? Are you ready to have the supernatural? Are you ready to start acting like the miracle is already on its way and stepping out in faith?" I believe God's about to do it. I believe we're catching hold of this, and God's about to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you start acting like you would if the miracle had already come to pass? That kind of faith gets God's attention. Hallelujah. Because when we step out like that, God's like, that right there, that's faith. And he puts his super on what we're doing in the natural. So we're praying for healing, but yet we're not doing anything. Maybe we're praying for a financial miracle, but we're not going to do something. We're just sitting around waiting for God to make it all happen and come to pass. No, we've got to set our hand to do something. If we don't know what there is to do, why don't we pray? Why don't we ask God to show us? Why don't we say, God, show us something I can do right now? I may not be able to do everything, but Lord, there's something. Surely there's something I can do right now in the natural that'll open the door in the spirit. Instead of praying, Lord, make me a millionaire, and just while we sit back and take it easy, how about praying, God, what is there that I can do? What kind of business can I start right now? What can I do right now that would set me up for the future, Lord, and it's going to open another door, and it's going to make a way here, and then before long it's going to open this door, and then God, you see the path that you want me to take, but what do I do right now to get on the right path? What can I put my hand to? Did you know tonight that there is no shortage of money in the world? There's no shortage of money. There's plenty of money out there. Here's something, maybe you didn't know this. I didn't know this. It is a fact that there are more $100 bills than there are $1 bills. I did not know that. There are more $100 bills in existence than there are $1 bills. Isn't that crazy? There's no shortage of money, folks. There may be a shortage of money in our hand, in our bank account, but there's no shortage of money in the world. But we have to do something in order to see that miracle happen in our finances. Instead of just praying, Lord, just pour it out on me, what are we going to set our hand to do so that God can bless what we're doing? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. God given him great victories. But he was a leper. He had so much going for him, but what was against him was devastating. So no matter how good and successful everything else is in the life of Naaman, he had a horrible, incurable disease that would eventually kill him. But there was a servant girl in Naaman's house from Israel. And she said, if only my master could meet the prophet that's in Samaria. Oh, because he would heal him of his leprosy. And reading in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha didn't even come out himself, but he sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and say, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. Naaman didn't like what he was told to do. You see, the way we like to figure out, okay, God, if you'll do it like this, we can have a miracle. If you'll do this and this order and these steps, if you'll just do it like I figured it all out, Lord, then we can have a miracle. Naaman had figured out that the prophet was going to come out, and he would pray, and then he would just kind of wave his hands, and instantly he would be healed. But Naaman had a part to play in this. 2 Kings 5:13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Sometimes it's the simplest thing, but until we do it, there's no miracle. Praise the Lord. You know how many times the enemy has come to me and said, oh, so God told you what to do. God spoke to you, huh? And you think that reading scriptures about healing is going to make a difference? That's too easy. You need something more complicated. You need some kind of new kind of test. You need some kind of new kind of treatment. And the enemy starts working in your mind, and no, that's just too easy. God, can you make it more complicated? Sometimes that's how we are, because what God has called us to do, we're like, well, that's too easy. That's not going to change anything. But then we haven't done it. But sometimes there's just a little step of faith, and we start moving in the right direction, and God sees that we're listening, and God sees that we're honoring what he told us to do, and he says, okay, that's all I need, and I'm going to put it into motion, and I'm going to make a way. Naaman had to do something. Oh, what do you think that little nudge of the Holy Ghost is? It's not just you. It's the Holy Ghost telling us, hey, why don't you worship right now? Why don't you go to the altar right now? Why don't you give tonight? Come on, why don't you run the aisles? Why don't you do something out of the ordinary? That's not the devil trying to tell you to worship. That's not the devil trying to get you to witness to somebody. That's a nudge of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, take a step of faith. Do something in the natural so God can put his super on it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we need a miracle, then there's something that we can do. Do you remember the widow of Zarephath? Elijah comes to town, and he asks her for a drink and for a little bread to eat. Reading in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did something according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. God had already set it up that the widow was going to sustain the man of God. She didn't have the resources to do it, though. But God had already set everything in order. It just took her making a cake for the prophet by faith. She had to give what she didn't have. It would have been very natural for her to just tell the prophet, no, I can't give to you, because then I won't have any. That'd be the natural thing to do. But instead of doing what made sense in the natural, she had to have perception in the spirit that there's something here that I can do in the natural. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but when I do this in the natural, it's going to unlock something in the spiritual, and God's going to supply everything I need. But she had to do something. I'm praying tonight that every single person in this house will do something. Don't let this just be a sermon that we hear and then it kind of wears off and we go on our way without doing something. But we're going to do something. We're going to pray like we've not prayed before. We're going to give. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to start speaking faith instead of fear. We're going to choose life instead of death. We're going to act on our faith. We're going to put our faith to work. We're going to do something. Oh, come on. What can we do for God? Oh, we sit around and then we think about all that we want God to do. But what's coming up? Oh, come on. What about coming up with some stuff that we can do? Well, we may not be able to work miracles, but we can be the connection with faith that makes a way for the miracle. Hallelujah. Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. Throw the hook in the water. Come on, Peter. There's already a miracle that's been prepared. Come on, Peter. That fish is already there. He's got the money in its mouth. He's ready to take the hook. But you got to throw the line in the water. You got to do something in the natural that God can put his super on. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. There's something that God's put in your hand. There's some resource that God's already given you. There's some calling that God's already put upon your life. There's some direction that the Lord has already spoken. You need to pray and say, God, show me exactly what to do because I want to see a miracle. I want to see the supernatural. I want to have revival. I want to see the power of God poured out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. As long as I can remember, I have prayed for the will of God to be done. God, let your will be done in my life, in my family, in this church, in this city. There's been times when I truly did not know what to pray. And so I literally would just say, I pray the will of God. I pray the will of God. Let it come to pass. But lately, God has been leading me further than that. Because it's one thing to say, God, I pray your will be done. And then just sitting back and waiting for the will of God to happen. And another thing to say, God, I pray you'd reveal to me right now what's going on. What can I do right now that will help your will to come to pass? I used to pray for church services, and God, let your will be done in this service. Move like you want to move, God. Do what you want to do. But now I'm praying, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the Spirit so I can find the vein of the Holy Ghost. So we can drop in that groove and we can just say, okay, God, we're doing your will. We're doing your will. Come on, somebody needs to get serious about the call of God upon your life. And you need to start praying, Lord, what can I do right now that would fulfill your will? What can I do right now? Who could I speak to? How can I give? How could I worship, Lord? How could I? What exactly can I do right now in my life, Lord, that would put me right in the middle of your will and would cause it to come to pass in my life? Instead of praying, God, let your will be done in this city, why not pray, God, show me someone I can make a difference in today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For every single one of us, I want to tell you something you can do right now. And I feel like, and Sister McCoy has talked to me, she feels like this is where we're at. God is waiting on us to answer a call to prayer. I hope we're praying. I hope we're praying. I hope it's more than just once a month at church family prayer. or a little here in altar service and a little there in pre-service prayer. I hope that we're praying. Leaders, I hope that we're serving God, but praying for His direction as we serve Him. I hope we're not ministering out of just our flesh, because we're up against some needs that are bigger than what our flesh can handle. We're fighting some devils that are larger than what we can take out in the physical and in the natural. Every time we come to a church service, it's a battle in the spirit. Why do you think on Wednesdays I feel horrible? Why do you think on Saturday I'm so stressed? Because there's a church service coming, and God's got a plan for what He's wanting to do, but the enemy's also got a plan. Whose side are we on? Whose side are we on? I'll tell you how we know. What are we doing? What are we doing? Am I doing the things that are pushing the will of God? Am I doing the things that are calling after the Spirit of God? Or am I doing things that are giving the devil strength and victory? What am I speaking? God give us, he puts life and death before us. Choose life, He says. Are we speaking life to our situation? Is that what we're speaking, or are we speaking death? Are we complaining, or are we giving glory to God? What are we doing? Amen. Oh, I tell you one thing we all need to be doing, and God, I know this is the will of God for every single person in this house, is for you to develop a prayer life to where you are so in tune with the Spirit of God that whenever God has something He wants us to do, all He has to do is just speak in that still small voice. But we've been tuned in to the Spirit through prayer that we don't miss what He's trying to tell us. And we can say, okay, God, I got you. I got you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a step of faith. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do whatever it takes, because I want to do in the natural what it takes to see the supernatural. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anybody that you'd answer the call of God tonight and you'd make your way to this altar right now and say, God, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I don't want to be holding back the miracle. I don't want to be stopping the work of God. But Lord, help me to figure out. Show me exactly what I can do right now, Lord, to connect with what you're trying to bring to pass. Come on, somebody. You can do something. You can do something. There's something in the natural that you can do right now to connect with your miracle in the name of Jesus.